you so much for this room of men and women who have said, Lord, we want to take up the mantle. We want to be servant leaders. I thank you, Lord, for their commitment. I thank you for how you have used them in the past. And God, I thank you with everything inside of me that you're going to use them big in the days ahead. I pray tonight that you would truly set in motion, Lord, part of our belief that we are to raise leaders through this house, just multiply them, that would impact not simply lives in community church, but all throughout our communities. And so I thank you tonight that you begin a good work. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you guys again for coming out tonight, so that we're all on the same page. We've got people who have already said yes to be in a coach role in the serve team world at all of our campuses represented here tonight. I think there's a couple people in the room who are on deck coaches, and so maybe stepping into that soon. My hope tonight, kind of to get the ball rolling and where we're at, the reason we're set like this is because maybe some of you are like, this is interesting. I've not come to a meeting before where we set like this. Is for the ability to ask questions and make sure we get rolling in the right direction. I'm going to start with this kind of I'll say it's a general or generic statement, but much of what we're going to jump from is from our leadership playbook. And my hope would be that anybody sitting around the table right now has spent time going through the leadership playbook. I am not naive enough to believe that all of you sitting around the table have spent time going through the leadership playbook, but I want to start with just a very direct statement. Part of the reality of everyone sitting around these tables tonight is that we believe, so myself, campus pastors, or your director who's identified you as a coach, is that God has called us to lead at a high level, a high capacity, which means both responsibility and ownership. And so one of the things that comes with that is that means we need to be in the know. One of the things about being in the know is that sometimes to be in the know, we have to do the work to get in the know versus just waiting for somebody to make sure we're in the know. And those of you know that from work, or you know that from the church world, from the school world, pretty much anywhere, right? And that's so important, because what's going to help us continue to grow and move forward as a church, multiply leaders, kind of go to the next level, is going to be a result of how we raise up leaders, how the men and women in this room sort of commit to multiplying leaders in that capacity. So tonight I wanted to kind of give a framework for some of that information, make sure we're on the same page with connecting with leaders as coaches, with connecting with your leaders and moving into that world, and then open it up for questions. So maybe we'll be here 30 minutes. We got you right here. Maybe we'll be here for 30 minutes. Maybe an hour. I doubt more than that. Really just depends. I'm sure Michael Legg will ask a couple good questions, and so we'll see how those go. we'll have fun with that, and it will be good. So starting here with kind of my bulleted agenda is being in the know. And understanding as a coach in this context, when I say be in the know, the level of in the know is simply communication that I would, or a campus pastor would, regularly give to our staff is the same level of communication that all of our coaches need to be on the same page in. And so weekly, there will be communication expected that you should expect from whoever your leader is. At the same time, just as I often get questions from the people who report directly to me, our hope would be that anybody who is in that coach role is going to regularly ask questions. One of the things that I joked about today with a couple of people, and I hope that when I say I joked, it's a painful joke, right? But people come to our church, and they've been coming for months, and today we were talking, somebody goes, this past weekend, somebody that's in a group on a serve team. What's this discover thing I've been hearing about? They sit in church every weekend. They don't miss. They're in a group. They're in a serve team. That was their question. There is just a massive reality that a lot of us, right, we're all, me included, we're all in our own world all the time. And so it's hard for us to step out of our own world. So this room right now, which will expand and grow, is a room of men and women who have the capacity to not stay in our little world, but to make sure that we feel understanding of where we're at as a church, and we feel that ownership. This room is coach of coaches, are men and women who are committed to grow personally. Now, this for me is huge. This for me is huge. So the leader's always the lid. The leader's the lid of every organization, but the leadership team is also a massive lid. So I want us to really own this statement as we look around the room right now. We're the lid. How much is our church going to reach more people, see more people step into leadership? As we sit around these tables right now, we are the lid to determine that. How is our leadership capacity growing? Because everybody around these tables right now, we have to be self-feeders. We have to be self-leaders. Meaning I will, campus pastors will send things of encouragement, will send things we're reading, we'll throw out leadership teachings and things like that. But every one of us on our own are going, you know what, I'm reading this leadership book. You know what, I'm listening to this leadership podcast. I'm finding a new way to grow in my leadership. Why? Because I see myself as a leader. And if we're going to multiply leaders, we've got to make sure we ourselves are leading to that next level. So just more understanding of what that means. And then from that place, what we do is we help others grow in their leadership. Now on our leadership playbook, we walk through some different, what an on-deck leader would have, what a leader would have, and what a coach would have, just kind of expectations for what each person would have. Let me just ask this. I don't know how to ask this without people feeling embarrassed or not embarrassed, but how many of you, I'll have you raise your hand this way, how many of you are like, I feel very familiar with the leadership playbook? Raise your hand. So that's what I was afraid of. I almost printed them all and passed them out, but I feel like sometimes it's good to kind of learn the lesson. They're on the website. You can print one, I promise. You can print one in the cottage before you go home. This is the point of how we go to the next level. When I was a volunteer at the church I served at in St. Louis, and I'm not saying anybody has to be like me, I'm just giving you a framework for where my mind was. I knew I was called to lead. I wanted to be an influencer. I wanted to help raise up other people. I wanted to help raise up other leaders. I was asking as many questions as possible. I was learning as much as I could ever learn to know about where we were at as a church, what we were doing, what was coming up, how we were developing more people. It's been about 20 hours a week just doing that. I had a wife and kid. It was what my priority was. Understand that. So this doesn't have to be a priority for everybody. For a coach, it does need to be a priority because you're going to have not just people, you're going to have, right? You're a leader of leaders. So there's going to be dozens of people potentially that are going to be impacted by your leadership because of the way you lead your leaders. And so it is a commitment. And so I guess I just want to be super direct again and just go, the leadership playbook, we rolled out somebody who's smarter than me 2 months ago. August 15th, almost exactly 2 months ago, 2 months ago yesterday. So we got to learn that. So go home, read through it, dive in, ask questions. What about this? What does this mean? What does this look like? We want to make sure every leader in our church, I'm calling you coaches, we want to make sure every leader in our church knows that they have someone in their corner that's helping them take next steps. We want to know they have someone in their corner that knows how their family's doing. We have someone in their corner that is going to help guide them. And at the same time, we're called to be a local church that hits a home run every single weekend. We're called to, I say this often to our team, so here we go. Every weekend is the Super Bowl. I don't believe we have weekends off, because every single weekend somebody's going to come to one of our campuses that if they don't experience the love of Jesus, they're going to hell. Like, boom, that's it. So is that the Super Bowl? Yes. Why would we want to just go halfway at it? We know Easter there'll be more of those ones. But even when maybe there's just going to be one, we go at it. So as a coach, it's people, and it's also very much execution. So as a coach, and as you think about those that you lead, and as you think about your area of responsibility, again, because there's all the different ministries are represented here tonight, it's going, no, we're firing on all cylinders this weekend. We know that everybody on our team is picking up trash if they saw it somewhere. We know that the parents dropping their kids off are getting an incredible experience at that three-year-old door. Not because you're standing at the three-year-old door, but because you're coaching the leaders and you know where they're at and you're making sure going into that. We expect those things. We know those things. You feel that weight. You know, if you're a leader in your DNA, the thing that we often, I will say, love/hate is weight. Like, I love the weight of responsibility, and I hate the weight of responsibility. It's sometimes what keeps me up at night, but it's what gets me up in the morning. It's like, I love knowing that what I do, people depend on. I do. I love knowing that I get to use my life to impact people. This is massive, what we're after. There's going to be a lot of detailed questions we'll figure out, some that you'll ask in a few minutes. But right now, like the start tonight, I'm like, it's for me, big time buy-in. Like understanding what we're asking, understanding what this means, understanding the potential impact that it has in the lives of others. So since we haven't been through the playbook, many of us, just a reminder, if you're a leader, so certainly a coach, it's that all-in unity ownership, which most of you around the table I know pretty well, and I know that you're like, yeah, let's go, giddy up. I'm like, you're here more than I am, so I know that's I know that's you, and so, you know, no worries and no questions about that, but understanding, right, that's where we're at. I don't hold back from that. I believe 100% that when we give our life to God's house, he'll bless our house. I don't think that's something we have to wonder about. That's what the scriptures say. And so I'm thankful that we have the freedom to do that. Couple things about coaches in our playbook. Coaches are effective communicators and collaborators. So this is something that we expect of a coach that we don't say a leader has to already be rocking, if you will. This is something that a coach would be rocking. This means that you around the table are able to effectively communicate. It doesn't mean that you are preaching from the stage. It does mean, like, you have, again, dozens of people that are potentially impacted, people serving by how well you communicate. How many of you know communication is what causes 95% of our problems in life, 99% of problems in marriage? So it's like, if we just nail communication. One of the things that's expected of a coach that's not expected, or not demanded, maybe would be a better word, of those in leadership, is regularly take steps of faith. So what does that mean? Well, that means as a coach, right, we're raising up, we're multiplying leaders, so we have to be modeling, what does a faith life look for? It's the last time those of us around the table, I did something that required a massive amount of faith. I got to be continually building that repertoire. I like to use words I don't pronounce correct. I know I've been doing that more in my preaching. So that's significant for me. It's a challenge, and I think it's one of the areas as you look around the room and maybe you make a new friend tonight that we can really help hold each other accountable to. Because one of the worst things, one of the things that stalls out growth, is when we just keep living on God's answer to our step of faith in the past. instead of continually taking new steps of faith. He'll bless again, but right, this is a faith life, living for Jesus. And then this is one of the significant ones for coaches. And that is that we manage conflict well. What is a guarantee if you are a good coach? You will deal with conflict with those that you lead. That is a 100% guarantee. You will deal with the devil trying to get in and produce offense. You will deal with genuine, somebody did something they shouldn't have done. Coaches, we've got to be able to step in and bring the grace, bring the love, bring the truth all together. I would expect some of you are like, I rocket that. And I would expect some of you are like, I run as fast as I can from that. And so those of you that are like, I run as fast as I can from that, the first opportunity you have, we'll walk with you together in that. So the coaching continuously model that we've talked about in the playbook is that everybody is continually coaching and continually being coached. This is more of art than it is science. One of the things that we've learned over the past few years is that in order for a true leadership development process to work, it doesn't work if we simply say, do this phone call for 5 minutes and ask these three questions once a week. Because we did that for a while, and it was literally like, how's your group? Good. How's your kids? They're doing okay. Can I pray for you for anything? I have a doctor's appointment Tuesday. Pray. All right. Then the pastor would ask, hey, how they doing? Doing good. Right? So that we all know, like, well, that doesn't actually, we're not developing somebody. We're just trying to. So we throw things out there and of expectations for our coaches, just like for our leaders of our serve teams, like, you should connect with your leaders every week. Well, what does connect mean? Well, it means you connect with them. It means you're in your life enough to in their life enough to connect with them, to know what's going on, to be an encourager to them, to not be shocked. You know, there shouldn't be a time when one of your leaders. Here would be a great example, which this happens, but we're coaches in the room. When somebody leaves the church, they're a leader, and then the next week they left the church, and everybody's in shock. Because nobody had a clue. So why does that happen? That will happen whenever they weren't in relationship with somebody that was encouraging them, that was also listening to them. And so it's really important that these healthy relationships continue to be built and grow to the next level. And then perhaps my favorite coach quality is a track record of multiplication. Meaning, we raise up not just people who serve, we raise up more leaders. And some of you in the room, I'm like, you guys are like leadership machines. Maybe all of you are. Those are just the ones I know or hear the stories of. And so that we keep doing that and moving that forward. And what this does, so when we come into like the operations of our church, the goal, if you will, of putting this coaching process in place at all of our campuses for our weekends is that from both the people and the operations side is all tied together because it all goes together. And so we found this is an area where we've sometimes struggled is if we have somebody who's in charge of the people and somebody who's in charge of the operations. And so then, well, maybe the people are great, but our execution's not so great. Or maybe the execution's great, but everybody's miserable and worn out. And so this is going, you know what, it really does all go together. It's part of being a high-level leader. We have to have both. It's like a billion degrees in here. Does anybody know anybody that can turn that down? Thanks, Pastor Jason. I'm like, I feel it, and I'm like looking at some of you. I'm like, yeah, you're really hot too. I can't believe you're not. No. I'm like, he's over here rolling up his sleeves. I'm like. So what when you think of, because you've all had at least a everybody in here, you've had a conversation with somebody, which is why you're here, I hope, that you weren't like, yeah, I just got this email and said, hey, show up. And so you've had a brief debrief on coaching. What questions do you have tonight swirling inside? That's great.
I think I'm scared for Shaq. I just would like to know, like, I really don't know all of the leaders for the new service. I've never had interactions with some of them, especially the kids, because I'm a greeting leader.
Uh-huh.
So I don't, I know the auditorium leader, I know certain leaders, but I don't know any of the kids' leaders. So I'm just curious to see who I'm coaching.
So that's because they just haven't all shown up on the same weekend?
No, I just don't know. I haven't been introduced.
Well, we can fix that tonight.
Okay.
So here's a good example of an expectation, I think. So certainly, because people attend church, including people who are on our serve teams, sometimes twice a month. And that's just the way it's going to be, and they're figuring their faith out, and they're working it out, and we love them, and we're going to walk with them. And most of you in this room come to church every weekend, which is still not near as much as they did in the Bible, right? So we're like, it's not too much. So the communication from somebody in the room, from your leader, here's your team, then it falls to you to go, I'm going to meet them, contact them, connect with them, certainly. So you'll get their names and phone numbers by tomorrow. Doesn't have to be tonight.
That's really important.
It's huge.
There are people out there who already have coaches. Don't know what's going on. They don't really have any idea what that role is.
So this process, any campus pastor, you two or a director can correct me because I don't know the details. But this process, we talked about August 15th when we walked through the playbook. It's kind of rolling out this fall of going, we're gonna kind of slowly roll this out over a few months versus starts right this second. I think I would say the history of us as a church, when we start right this second, what you're talking about ends up being the common thread. And so going, how do we just make it a process through the fall that we know by the end of the year, everybody's comfortable, everybody knows what's happening. And I think from my last understanding, there's still a couple areas where we haven't identified a coach yet. And so that's still part of the process. So some people don't have yet a person they know as a coach in their area where they serve. So they would go directly to their campus pastor, to the director, depending on exactly where they're at. But making 100% certain that you as a coach know who your leaders are is crucial at all times. Yeah, I love questions.
So, as coaches, should our focus be on pouring into our leaders, or our leaders and our serve team members?
Your leaders.
And then they'll pour into our
Yes. members. Yes. So, everybody here, you're going to coach. I'm going to throw out numbers. So, it probably could be as few as maybe 3 leaders, maybe as many as 6, 7. Again, without the exact numbers in front of me, I'm not sure exactly what that adds up to. So in order to truly pour into your leaders and give them your heart, like we want you to, you're not going to pour into them those who are on their serve teams. Hopefully your leaders are going to model what you're showing them. And one of the best ways you learn how good you're doing, this is like kids, right? Those of us that are parents in the room, when our kids do stuff, And we're like, where did they learn to do that? And then you're me and your wife looks at you, you know, and you're like, dang. So how we see our leaders developing their serve teams, how we see our leaders walking up to the, you know, somebody's talking about a door, how we see the leader as a coach, when you see your leader walk up to a person on the weekend and just like high five them and tell them, man, you just, there's so much joy just coming out of you today. I can tell you're making a difference. How well you see your leaders walking up to people and going, hey, I'm so sorry about what happened at work this past week. I'm glad we got to talk about it, and I'm looking forward to having coffee after. Like, you hopefully see those kinds of things happening, and you're like, that's awesome. Because I know that's what they get from me, and I know I see now that they're modeling that and that they're in their life.
So is the expectation we have to give up our community groups as well?
No. Okay. No. Be in your groups, rock your groups. So, two different things. Yeah. So part of all the flow of this, which is a great opportunity to, this isn't part of this, you know, structure, but our groups are our term groups. So 12, 13 weeks, the group stops as far as the church is concerned. Yes. Yeah, so in a situation like that, it's a great question. But so they would be an on-deck coach. So one of the things that is, and please even write this down if you want to make sure you're clear. One of the things we will not do on purpose, and if you see it happen, please go to the next level leader, is put somebody in a position they're not ready for. Is put somebody, is either a leader as a coach, and they shouldn't be there. We do not want to do that. We are not trying to find warm bodies. We're not trying to say, hey, we got the 9 o'clock service covered now for little kids. We've got the 11:15 service covered now and guest experience. We've got Connect Lounge covered now at 10:30. That's not what we're trying to do. I would rather have a hole and it have to be filled in by a higher level, currently a coach who's functioning in a leader role and going, man, we've got to get some on, like, who's the next leader? Because I'm... But that's why you're in this room, because then you carry that weight of going, it's my, like, I can raise up leaders, like, I can do that. Certainly, when we start, obviously, a new campus, new teams, new ministries, which we should always be finding, right, new and better ways to do things, there's going to be a learning curve through that.
So those serve teams we have right into it, there's not personal function.
Right, but so what I'm trying, so what I would say to you is you're functioning as a leader.
Okay.
So don't think about it as just you're a coach and a leader. So you got to find leaders in those areas where you're doing double duty. Yeah. Because there's people in the room right now there's multiple people in the room who do that. Double duty would be the best way to say it. I mean, yeah. Several of the pastors that are on full-time staff, they're sitting around the table right now. They're going to raise up more coaches because of that very reason. But just like I'm saying, like, we don't want to just put people in positions that aren't ready. This, hear me, the success of this model is those of us in the room taking the ownership to connect with these men and women that we are coaching and really want to raise them up and then help them raise up other leaders. Like, that's, this is not me, this is not any of the campus pastors, not any other person in leadership going, you know what, let's build a system and a structure where we've got some, it's awful to be where I use my hands. I haven't hit you yet. So you're going to where we have a system. So we're like, okay, now we have these 40 coaches identified. Okay, so great. Now we have these 30 leaders under these coaches, and now we have this. Okay, great. We've got a system in place. Because we can all draw org charts that look beautiful. and they mean absolutely nothing if the men and women who are in them are not intentional and don't believe in what they're actually doing. So I can't emphasize enough that this is, I am in unity, ownership with our church, and I believe I'm called to lead and help raise up other leaders in this house. Like, that's what I feel is part of my, that's part of my calling in life, period. You might be active duty, you might be an engineer, you might be a teacher, I don't know, but you're like, part of my calling, this is what it is, period. Yes, sir.
So you mentioned that as a coach, you're constantly, continuously, I guess, coaching.
Yeah.
And being coached. So can you speak to the piece of, as a coach, where does our coaching come from?
Yes, great. So the place that it comes from is from your direct leader. So in many cases, that would be the campus pastor, and then also it will be from me. So when we look into 2017, and you can tell me if we said the exact time, I don't remember if we've already said when they would be, but one of the things about coaches that we talked about is quarterly I will be with coaches only and do leadership development, talk about different books, different topics that we'll go through kind of together in a way also just for us to hang out together. My hopefully both leadership / wisdom / silliness all together. But a lot of the one-on-one piece with the campus pastor or whoever that direct leader is. So that weekly, just that same way, that weekly connect. Checking in. Hey, how's it going? So I'm saying campus pastor, or it could be a director, depending on which campus you're at as we talk and depending on what area you serve in. But they will know where how your family's doing, how you're doing, and they will say, hey, your area of the church looked like crap this last week. And I'm saying that going like, this is direct. Like, right, we're leaders. That's what I would say to somebody. And so like that's, we're encouraging each other, and sometimes we have a bad week. We have to be honest. Like, hey, this was good, but we can never have this happen again. And then like
we all understand this, but that's why it's critical when you see somebody doing something well.
You praise
first
them.
To go in there and give them a hug and a high five,
yep,
or whatever it is. Because if you do not build that positive emotional bank account, you'd better not have a conversation with somebody about how they're screwing up.
That's right.
Because they're not going to take it.
That's right. And that's exactly right. And part of the piece at this level of leadership also, like to jump off that for a moment. So all of us, I would say this is something I've learned in leadership. People will present themselves and they will say, I don't need affirmation. I don't ever need you to tell me I'm doing a good job. I just need you to tell me where I can get better. And really they actually believe that. They do believe that psychologically. And then in about 6 months or a year, they're like miserable. Because the person believed them that they didn't actually need affirmation and encouragement. At the same time, there's a higher level of leadership that you begin to step into that it's often a natural reality that you often get less affirmation. And it's part of spiritual maturity and leadership maturity. So agree 100% with what you're saying, something that I hope we all as coaches and as others would encourage each other in. Also going, hey, a coach, I'm going to use the term need, a coach might need a little bit less than a leader to actually stay positive, to stay strong, to keep moving forward. Still need it very much so. But that's part of that maturing process. How do you guys think we do celebrating in the areas where you hang out at? Curious. Like with your serve teams, with your direct leader, whether it be a director or campus pastor. I know you might be like, I don't know what to say right now. I'm just curious.
Susie's a great partier.
She does party.
She's drinking right now.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't think a week goes by that we didn't check to make sure, or even Stevens.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. You sure do. It's the what I was talking about earlier of like us bringing this together, is because people tend to go operations and task, or just people, and we end up not putting it all together. So with the encouragement, it's always also part of what we're actually leading and coaching, versus only who you are as a person, which should always be part of it. And I think perhaps that's something, oh, I know it's something we can all always work on. And don't be afraid to have an honest conversation with your direct leader. So when I talk to people that report directly to me, you know, what can I do to help you? So if your leader doesn't ask you that question, go ahead and just say, hey, something that you could do to help me. I would win more, I feel like, if you just gave me a high five when I walked in the door every day. I'm serious. Like, it makes a difference. Is there anybody, because I know this is a soft rollout, is there anybody here who you're like, I know who my leaders are, I'm coaching them, I'm connecting with them? Has anybody taken that step yet? Suffolk is rocking it, and some kids. Okay.
For me, I only have one on housing on Western Bridge, and so I'm the coach for that one leader right now.
So you guys are rocking it.
Yeah, because and that's why I say be intentional about getting into their life and spending time with them. So Carol and I, once a month, we will go to gather for lunch.
Cool.
We'll spend time outside of the church.
Yeah.
And just kind of get out of the church and get to know each other.
Yeah.
And we just make it once a month. That's what we do.
That's awesome. It's a great example of just in talking about the relationship and the connection of
right. Go
get coffee, go get lunch. You know, sometimes those of you that have small children, sometimes what people have done is after the kids go to bed, one person goes over to the other person's house at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night and hangs out for an hour from 9 to 10. Like, sometimes we have to get creative in different worlds depending on the parts of our life we're in. So, but that's great, Kathy. That's what we're talking about. Good. Go to Laura's house? Is that what
no,
you said?
No,
that's
what I just
said. Don't come
on. No one's going to let you do it.
Pass out on FaceTime. You can't take your house.
Yeah.
The kids are in bed.
FaceTime's great.
FaceTime.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things that we want to happen is so with everybody in the room, and this is all of our campuses right now, and so that there is some level where you all do know each other, but specifically at your campus, like this is a brother and sisterhood together. Like we know, like we're the high level leaders. We're like God's using us. We're raising up leaders. We're making sure that this weekend there's a whole lot of people giving their life to Jesus and getting an awesome experience. We're making sure that this week after the weekend that people that are giving their life to God's house, that they're being connected with, that they're being followed up with, that they're being encouraged. So just really making a difference in all those areas. Again, there's some examples in the leadership playbook, which as you guys go through that will be great. Any other questions? A couple more. Know if you have a question, there's probably at least three other people that have it.
Just like specific, the church's viewpoint on specific things that happen.
Yeah.
Like injuries and screaming kids and, you know what I mean, like whatever the case may be. What are the church's, in other words,
so that
certainly ask the person to leave the auditorium, you know what I mean, like, or whatever, but
what's the church's viewpoint? What should I do?
Yeah.
How do I address things like that? Or if somebody gets injured, like I obviously would call EMT right away or whatever. But other than that, I don't know. Like, what's the protocol? Like, do I put a screen up? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Like the detailed kind of stuff that nobody really thinks about, but kind of need to know.
So one of the what if we I'm not going to overpromise and underdeliver right here. So so I'll use this term. We'll try this. What if when we ask a question, so like so that it's a real question, right? A real thing happened, because it'd be literally impossible to cover everything. Like when you sit down with a blank piece of paper,
right.
This happens. You're like, hey, let's make sure everybody knows how to handle every situation.
Right.
Okay. But what happens is, this weekend this happened.
Right.
Okay. Make sure it's known, and then a communication goes out to all of our coaches. Hey, guys, this happened this weekend. This is how it was handled. This is how we do these things. And so if it was handled correctly, we'll just highlight it. If it wasn't, we'll say, this is how it was handled. This is what was good about that. This is what could have been different about that. Part of, again, the ownership and responsibility of everybody in this room is that you read the emails, watch the videos that are sent to you. I mean, I just know from reality, right? Like, just people don't read email and people don't watch videos. So I'm 100% expectation. If you get an email from me, from Campus Pastor, from your director, you're reading the entire thing. You're watching the video that's attached in it. I promise you, we're not going to send you something. Well, I don't think we're going to send you something. That would be a waste of your time. We'll try with everything in us, because I get a lot of emails that I'm like, I don't need this right now. What?
Nothing. I was just saying, I did get an email of Pastor Jason on a tractor. I have a question.
What if that didn't mind them?
Yeah.
I didn't send the email. I was just in the video.
Yeah. So Matt brought something up about small groups.
Yes.
And a lot of us, you know, take one hat off and put another hat on.
Yes.
What is there? I don't want to say prioritize, because everybody is important.
Mm-hmm.
But how some of us work full time, have three kids and a pregnant wife. I have a deployed husband,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the only leader on Little Kids Hallway Saturday night, so that gives me six classrooms,
mm-hmm.
that I have people in, that I'm, and then I have a small group,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm also in charge of paid childcare.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you?
Sure. So it's a great question. So this would be where, with your direct leader, you would have a conversation and go, Can I honestly do this?
Right. Okay.
And then you look at it and you go, maybe I, you know what, I can't do all three of these things. Okay, this is when you go in your heart, which one am I the least passionate about?
Right.
And then that's the one I'm going to say for right now, I can't do this. So one of the things that we've realized, again, over those of you that have been a part of leadership here for the last several years, one of the things that we've realized that we used to do is this one size fits all, which is what ruins everything. And we're like, well, this is how many people you can coach. That's not true. Some of you in the room right now, you can literally you could coach 15 people. You have the time. You have 20 hours a week that's just free. You could do that and you'll rock it. Some of you in the room, you can coach about three people, and that's your capacity. So that's why it has to be in those one-on-one worlds.
Okay.
And what does that look like?
And I'm sure most of the people in here were yes people. Like, we want to help. We want to do, you know, what's asked of us. So
I have to say, last year I learned how to say no. And it is the best.
So freeing.
It is so, because you want to do everything. And you feel like I really have struggled with feeling like somebody was going to need me and I wasn't going to be there when they needed me. And then I realize that's a lot. There's 40 people here.
Yeah.
There's somebody that can grow it.
That's right.
But you're rocking, girl. You're almost to the finish line. Like, we're getting close.
Yes, sir.
So, as a coach and conservative,
mm-hmm.
you've got your built-in leaders that you're already leading.
Mm-hmm.
As a coach for groups, can you speak to how we're going to do that? Because we went down the path once of just kind of sticking group leaders with a coach that they didn't have a relationship with. So if you're coaching groups, how are you going to get your group leaders? How's that going to work?
So I think that this meeting is just weekend serve teams.
Okay, didn't know that.
I believe. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. No, are there some just group leader coaches in here? Okay. So there's more to the group piece that we have to figure out.
It's another conversation.
Yeah. So no, it's okay. So the part that is the same is the connect weekly at a minimum. But there's true differences in when we talk about leadership within the church and what it is we're trying to accomplish. So when we talk about like weekend coaches, this is part of the army that does two things. This is part of the army that is both raising up leaders and is also leading the charge for our weekends, for if we do something midweek, for once a month service, all how we're reaching out the community. In our small groups, again, part of that is we do term-based small groups. I smile when I say that because I understand multiple people in the room, that's not what you follow, but I'm letting you know that we do term-based small groups as a church. And so somewhere around 39 or 40 weeks a year, we have small groups going on. We don't have small groups going on the other 12 weeks of the year at our church. And so what that means then as a coach for those leaders is that sometimes people lead a group during a session or a term, and sometimes they don't. It's something that we see more and more of happening. So therefore, what that coaching relationship looks like with leaders, it isn't the same as an ongoing coaching relationship with leaders on weekend serve teams. It's something that we want relationship there. We want to know that they're healthy, but they might simply be leading an 8-week small group that is, you know, covering disciplines of a godly man that meets at the Western Branch campus, and that's what they're doing. So we want to make sure they have that coach in their life, that they led a session and they're out. They'll lead again in a couple years maybe. And again, we're seeing more of that happen as part of the culture of our church. It's a lot of the people who have been leaders for, we'll say, 3, 4, 5, 10 years as a group leader, that when a system changes and we don't change with the system, we try to pull part of the new system and keep doing the old system, and that's when it gets confusing. That might have just muddied it more in your head.
I was fine when you said that it's another meeting.
Well, that way it's muddier. Now it's muddier in everybody else's mind. The best way for us to sustainably raise leaders is through serving in our weekends. Because, and the reason I say that is because we believe that follower of Jesus, you serve. Period. Like, you should serve in the community. Serving in the community should be like, hey, where do I want to serve? Serving in the church should be, I do this. Like, it's not even something to question. Like, I follow Jesus. This is the local church I serve. So when it comes then to raising up leaders through this way and through this ongoing reality, this is part of who we are. Groups, we know that people, different seasons. I need to work on my marriage right now. Not that we ever don't need to work on our marriage. I need to work on my finances right now. Not that we ever don't need to do that, right? But this is what I want to focus on right now. So sometimes it gets so much more topic driven. So it's just, again, different dynamics that are becoming more part of the culture of our church. If we look in 3 years, it'll look very different on the groups to serve teams. It takes 3 to 5 years to change a culture, if you didn't know that. We're not quite 12 months in. Love it. So here's what you can expect from your leader this week. from your leader this week, you'll receive an email with your leaders and all of their contact information. And an encouragement on next steps with them. And then what we hope for each of you is you'll respond back to your leader and get that relationship going.
Is this an icebreaker to the leaders? Are they aware that this is, I know that we talked about it last leadership summit, but are they aware that the changes are actually in process, or are we relaying that information?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's been talked about for the last 2 months since Leadership Summit through the different directors and people at each campus, throughout the campuses.
They don't really, I have very limited exposure to this, but I do have some. They don't really know what the intent, the purpose, the role of these coaches is going to be. So as directors or leaders of coaches, you may want to make sure that whatever it is we're communicating is relatively consistent and hopefully servant leadership driven would be my thought out of the gate. That if they get nothing else from it, they get that the coaches are there to support them in their role as a leader, and what that actually looks like can be played out over time. It's just a thought.
So everything that we're talking about is in the leadership playbook. Like the things we're talking about of expectations. I mean, obviously, because of questions, we've jumped into more detail. But all of our leaders, if they've looked at the leadership playbook, again, I know the nature of people. But so that's, everybody has a very natural starting place with your leaders. Familiarize yourself with the leadership playbook, and then let's talk about it. Which is a very simple starting spot.
I think printed copies would be helpful on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Just throw it out. Maybe nobody agrees, but have a copy so that, like, when the coaches can walk. I mean, I know for me, I was thinking about Ashley last weekend. It would have been a much easier step to introduce her as the coach and then talk to the people she was leading and then remind them of, like, hey, no, I don't know if you were at the leadership summit or not, but just.
Yeah, so the reason we're not going to like print them and distribute them as from a church perspective is because it's meaning like from a operational, like we have like central support in our structure, is only because like it's a living document that will get revisions and will get updated. Something will change, somebody's going to say this is how it works, and so it will stay live. It's in a Google Doc on our website, and so it stays live and we'll have the revision on there. So if you want to print it and be like, hey, here's the leadership playbook, that's great. But like, here's what happens. If those of you like want hard copies, you'll be glad to know this. Hey, we just printed 200 copies. Hey, we just changed this sentence. So now we have to go try to find the 140 copies that weren't handed out. And because it's just a reality of a changing organization, like it's,
and you did actually go over that at the leadership summit.
Right.
Like you just said,
with it being a living document, how will we as coaches know when something changed in it besides looking at the bottom where it says, you know, this?
Yeah, so the commitment that I'm making to you as coaches from me is the communication that I give to staff, I'm going to give to coaches. So one of the things that we started doing last week, or not last week, I was gone, but a couple weeks ago, is what I share at staff meeting is going to be sent to our leaders. That's usually just kind of an encouragement or a leadership teaching. But then if we go beyond that with anything, then we'll make sure at each campus, the campus pastor will send all the coaches detail of that.
One of the things military docs do when the change is made that's significant enough they have a summary of changes,
mm-hmm,
in the beginning, and so that's something that may be helpful if the coaches aren't able to immediately connect with people. If in this living document we had, or you decided to put a summary of changes,
it's a great idea. That's a great idea. Do they call it like a...
A rev or a change.
I was thinking, do they make it like in a paragraph or something, don't they? Like,
yep.
What do they call it? Like revision one summary or something like that?
Change two at this page.
Yeah.
27 at this case.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Steve, for helping us do that. Romy, did you want to say something still? Or?
Earlier I just remembered what Matt was saying on how like he felt like a lot of people had counted on him and he had to learn how to say no.
Uh-huh.
I was just going to encourage him that another solution for that is to raise up leaders so that way they're not counting just on him.
That's good.
Finding once people get the taste of leadership, they realize how difficult of a task it is, and they fall in line rather quickly once they get that first taste of it.
It's a
if they're not leaders, if they're not.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So
that's why I say.
Think they can lead better until they have to do it.
That's exactly right. So many comments that I'm filtering right now. That's good. So one, yeah. I'm just not wanting to read the whole playbook. It talks about monthly and one-on-ones and the leadership summits and then like the model of you do it, they watch you, they do it, you watch, then they do it of like raising and training leaders again and all those things. So it's so very clear of what expectations are and how we're rolling all that out. And so some of you in here, you've been rocking essentially as coaches for years really, and some of you this is going to be a step of faith, and that's awesome. People are drawn to faith. All right, any other questions about anything at all? Crying babies. What do we do if there's a crying baby in the auditorium? We try to remove them from the auditorium. That's what we do. Lovingly. And if you can't do it lovingly, you call the safety team. You just ask Alan to go over there and please. Oh. They will start crying right at the closing of the message. That's what you need to know. Was mine crying? Oh, that threw me way too. I didn't know.
I actually said you did really good, just transitioning. But then it just like kept going.
It didn't register for me what was happening, even in that. I'm like, I don't really know what's going on right now.
Is it fireball?
Yeah, that'd be the whole.
During the 10:30
service. I was so confused. All right. Well, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hang out a little bit. Feel free to hang out a little bit. There will be notes, recap notes from this meeting sent out to everybody that was here. And just like we would do at a different kind of team meeting, as you read some of those recap notes, respond. If you go, hey, I thought we talked about this too, or actually I thought that this, or hey, this looks awesome. Sounds good. And then we'll get together again this year as a team like this. And my hope is that, again, like I said, that we finished 2017 and all of our campuses were like, we have coaches in place. We're strong. We feel like we're ready to move in into the future in the days ahead. We pray. God, I thank you again for everyone here. I thank you that you just cover us with grace. I thank you for faith. Lord, we pray for physical health in everybody here. I pray for physical health in their families right now. Lord, we surround one of our families that is hurting so much tonight. Lord, we surround the Wall family, God, and we thank you that you, that Holy Spirit, you show up as comforter right now. Just truly do what only you can do, God. And thank you that you cause us to be able to lead as servants just as we're called to. In Jesus' name, amen.